This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Desperate times, they tell us.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I don't know about you, but my head is spinning. This whole thing has snowballed so quickly. President Bush has called an emergency summit at the White House today. Congress is working around the clock to push this bailout through in whatever form it takes. Last night, the president had some rather ominous predictions about what'll happen if there's no bailout.
More banks could fail, including some in your community. The stock market would drop even more, which would reduce the value of your retirement account. The value of your home could plummet. Foreclosures would rise dramatically. And if you own a business or a farm, you would find it harder and more expensive to get credit. More businesses would close their doors, and millions of Americans could lose their jobs.
Let's bring in our Washington correspondent, Steve Henn, as we continue our coverage of the financial crisis. Steve, there's a sense of urgency here, but quite a divide between Republicans and Democrats. Why might this be a pretty tough fight?
Well, I think you're right. There is a consensus. A majority of folks on both sides of the aisle are convinced that this thing has to pass, but they're also really angry. They're unsure if what they're going to do is going to work, and they're upset that they're in a position where they have to take the word of a college professor, Ben Bernanke, a former college professor, and Hank Paulson, the Treasury Secretary and a former chairman of Goldman Sachs, about a deal that requires them to sign off on borrowing $700 billion.
And what are the main sticking points for each side?
Well, I think part of the problem here is liberals and conservatives understand the causes of this crisis completely differently. Liberals see this as a real failure, almost an abdication of government's responsibility to effectively regulate the market. Mm-hmm. They think the government just walked away from its duty to make sure that loans were fundamentally fair. And so when they look at solving the crisis, they want to make sure if they're going to sign a check for $700 billion, that they address that issue. You know, free market conservatives see the roots of the crisis entirely differently. They look at Fannie and Freddie's huge growth and ultimate collapse earlier this year as a clear warning about what happens when private companies get too close to the government. And so the idea that the solution is for the federal government to go in and buy a big chunk of the banking sector through warrants or stock options, it just makes their skin crawl.
All right. So you have any idea where the middle might be?
Well, I think the middle will emerge once a deal is on the table. I think a majority of Democrats and a majority of Republicans agree the government has to do something. This crisis isn't imaginary. It's clear what's happening in credit markets. And I think if, out of this meeting that we're going to see later today, the leaders in both parties are able to put a deal on the table and force a vote, it's going to be very hard for most members of Congress to vote no.
All right, Steve Henn in Washington, thank you.
Thank you.
The stock markets seem to be waiting on this plan to come out. They're in a state of flux right now. In Asia today, the markets closed about 1% lower. European shares are up about 1% so far. The Dow dropped 29 points yesterday to 10,825. The NASDAQ gained a couple points to 2155. The S&P 500 fell a couple points to 1185. What do you know? People are already writing books about the financial collapse. One publisher, Penguin, got a little lucky with their timing. A couple weeks ago, they released a book on spectacular corporate collapses called Billion Dollar Lessons. Looks like that will be the first of many books to come. Rico Galliano has more.
Seth Dichick is senior editor at Princeton University Press. He fields book proposals from business authors. Since the economy imploded, he says proposals have doubled.
There's going to be, as far as I can tell, an avalanche of these sorts of books over the next 18 months or so.
That's not unusual in the wake of a big business news story, but Adrian Zackheim, president of Penguin's portfolio imprint, says this is the biggest business news story in years.
The only one that I can think of that's comparable over the last decade or so was the Enron crisis.
So as publishers sift through the piles of pitches, what are they looking for? Princeton University Press's Seth Dichick says he's focusing on historic analysis of similar meltdowns.
Any book that we undertake now won't be out until next year, unless Alan Greenspan calls me up and says, I want to do a book with you. So I think the historical approach will have much more of a life.
Hopefully a longer life than the crisis itself. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, helping America go green. You can calculate your carbon savings at publictransportation.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Everybody seems to want some money from the government. The car industry just got some, or wants some guaranteed loans and just got $25 billion from Congress to help get more fuel efficient in the industry. We have more now from Mitchell Hartman.
Today in Flint, Michigan, GM executives and local officials will tout a new $359 million auto plant. It'll make a new breed of small, fuel-efficient four-cylinder engines for the Chevy Cruze and Chevy Volt. David Cole heads up the Center for Automotive Research. He says GM is finally getting real about putting new energy-saving technology under the hood.
When you're sort of changing the whole directional thrust of the company away from the traditional more power and more performance, towards much improvement in fuel economy, this is an absolutely necessary investment.
Cole says the price tag will be steep, $80 to $100 billion to meet new fuel efficiency standards. Developing gasoline-free cars that run on hydrogen fuel cells or battery power alone will cost even more. Down-and-out U.S. car makers don't exactly have a lot of cash laying around, so expect the industry to be back asking Congress for another $25 billion or so next year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Our coverage of the financial crisis continues online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.